You are listening to Benefit from the Bible. The Bible is God's word of truth to show us our need for Jesus, to save us through Jesus, and to show us how to live for Jesus. If you have questions or needs, please let us know. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, how are you doing with your own relationships? Let's admit that we have many of them. The most important one would be between us and God. And then we have the relationship between husband and wife. We have the relationship between parents and children, and many, many other relationships. When we proceed in our relationships according to our old sinful nature, then the relationship is going to be a mess. Let me give you an example of that by reading a quote here from Lenski. He's talking here about the relationship between wives and husbands when we do not follow the word of God. He wrote, "Wives seek to rule their husbands and refuse loving self-subjection. Husbands tyrannize their wives, often to the point of enslaving them." Does that sound like what God wanted for husbands and wives? By no means. Today, as we return to Ephesians, keep in mind that chapters 1, 2, and 3, that is talking about God's great work to do everything to make us his holy children. And then chapters 4, 5, and 6, that's how God's calling us to live as Christians. So now that we're in chapter 5, the focus here is to how to live as Christians within relationships, especially here within the relationship between husband and wife. But we can really take what we have here and apply it to other relationships as well in certain respects. As I share what I'm going to share today, some people might struggle with it, but let's look at it like this and say, what pastor is sharing is from the Bible, so when we struggle with it, tell me, when we struggle with it, is it our new nature that's struggling with it, or is it our old nature that is struggling with it? Obviously, it's our old. With our new nature, we want to embrace and do everything in the Bible. The problem is, we all have that old nature that says, you know, God, I see what you're saying there, but I think I might have a little bit better idea. That's always the old nature wanting to do things a little bit different, maybe even a lot different. Before we get into the text itself, I want to share a couple more things with you that will hopefully make this understandable. So I want to talk about four things we're going to discover today. One thing is from Christ to us, and this is the thing that is certain. So truly, Jesus is the Son of God. He came down, he put on human flesh, he did a finished work. So everything from him to us that is certain, that is done, that is finished. The other three things are things that God commands of us. The one command would be for all believers. The other command would be for wives. The other command would be for husbands. When it comes to the commands, the question is, are we going to follow them or are we going to reject them and go our own way? Let's picture two bodies here for a moment. The first one is what we call the body of Christ. So picture a body with a head. So with the body of Christ, the head of that body is Christ himself, and the body of the body of Christ, that includes all people who are believers in Jesus Christ, who know they cannot save themselves, who have seen themselves to be helpless as far as salvation goes, and now, by the grace of God, they are trusting in Jesus. The other body we're talking about would be the one flesh relationship within a marriage. So again, we can look at one body, one flesh. The head of that body is the husband. The body of that body is the wife. Keep those things in mind as we go through here. It's kind of a tough text because Paul is going back and forth on this topic of the relationship between Christ and his body. as well as between wives to husbands and husbands to wives. But it's really important stuff, though. Let's take a look. Let's get right into the text. We're in chapter 5 of Ephesians, picking up in verse 22. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, because the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. Okay, wives, how many of you find this to be maybe one of your most favorite passages in the whole Bible? Any takers on that? Nope, I don't see any hands. Okay, well, I hope you come to understand it better and maybe even to love it by the time I get done here. First of all, though, let's think about Christ to his body. So his body is the church, and that includes all who are believers. He is not only the head of his body, but he is also the Savior of his body. So we know that Jesus did everything in order to redeem us, to make us holy in his sight, and he did that by living for us, suffering for us, dying for us. He did everything that was necessary. And now what about the wife to her husband? Well, this is a tough one, but the Bible teaches that her head, the head of the wife, is her husband. Now, I'm not talking about wives looking in the mirror and you see your body, but you see your husband's head on your body. That would be kind of odd. We're not talking about that, but the Bible does say, though, that her head is her husband. Does it say it just here in Ephesians 5? It doesn't. If we jump over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, it says this. It says, the head of every man is Christ. The head of a wife is her husband. So we know the Bible is the Word of God. We know it is true. So now we need to understand, how is that true then? Let's think about it like this. Because of this headship idea, because of this headship reality, I could say, as believers, out of reverence for Christ, we should in everything obey our head, who is Christ. So when we think about that, he is the Son of God. He did everything that we could be with God forever. So out of faith for him, out of reverence for him, we should be wanting to know his will in every circumstance, and we should be wanting to obey it. That is how God wants us to be. That's how he calls us to be. See, that becomes the pattern now for the wife. So a wife, out of reverence for Christ, again, not from her old nature, not because she's strong enough to do it, but out of reverence for Christ, she is called in everything to willingly obey her head, who is her husband. These are tough things, but let's understand that is God's design for marriage. So should God know something about it? He should. God created the world in 6 days, and on day number 6, that's when he made the man, and then a little bit later that day, he made the woman. He brought the woman to the man, and that was the very first marriage. So God is the one who made the people. God is the one who instituted marriage. So God should know the best way to function within marriage. This is his design right here. The husbands are not left out, though. The Bible goes on and says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he, talking about Christ, might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of the water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. So the majority of what I have just said, it is talking about what Christ, the head of his body, has done for his body in order to make it pure and holy and acceptable. So that's the pattern that has been established now for the husbands. And then Paul writes, in the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. So you can see how he's going back and forth between the body of Christ and the body of that one flesh body with the husband and the wife. Let's make an honest comparison for just a moment, or let's imagine doing it, and let's say if we compared ourselves, how we do or don't do, with what the Bible says that we should do or don't do. How would that come out, do you think? If we were really honest, step by step by step, if we're really honest, we're going to find out that we are very filthy, miserable sinners. In other words, God has told us very clearly what is best. We have fallen short over and over and over and over again. And I'm not talking about you guys, just you guys. I'm talking about me too. We're all in this same bad situation. What do we tend to do, though, as people? We don't compare with the Bible. We tend to compare maybe with the guy next door. Oh, I'm doing okay. I know he's worse than I am, so that makes me okay. That's never the point of comparison. The point is always with the Bible. When we know how sinful we are, and we realize the radical action taken by God the Father to send his Son and for Jesus to live and suffer and die for us, and then to know that God even went further, and when we were baptized, that is when God the Father was at work by the Holy Spirit through the water and word of baptism in order to clothe us in Jesus Christ, in order to make us holy in his sight. When we understand all of that, then we are seeing how with the body of Christ, the head of the body who is Christ, we're seeing what great lengths he has gone to in order to make us holy. Really extraordinary stuff. And then coming to this section where we're talking about the husband to his wife. So the body of the husband is his wife, the Bible says. So as we were made members of the body of Christ through baptism, so a man and a woman are made one flesh through marriage. So not a complete parallel, but a similar kind of a situation there. So as Christ showed extraordinary love for his body, which is the church, husbands, out of reverence for Christ, are called to show extraordinary love for his body, and the body of the husband is his wife. Again, can you see the parallel? So Christ, the head, loving his body, and then this other body, the husband being the head, and then greatly loving his wife, who is the body of that body, that one flesh relationship. Some tough stuff, but important though. Let's go on to the end here as we come to what I'm calling some summary statements. So going on to verse 31 of Ephesians 5, the Bible says, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast." That means to be faithfully devoted to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So God is calling us to think about this idea of unity. How are we today as Americans? We might tend to think, oh, there is Christ, I'm here. There is my wife, I'm over here. But God wants us to think about unity. So when it comes to the one body of Christ, that includes all believers. When it comes to the one marriage, thus the one flesh, that includes both a husband and his wife. He wants us to think about this unity, this very close relationship. Verse 32, Paul wrote, "This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." When we think about marriage and we think about a man and a woman being one flesh, that's a tough thing, but I think that's easier to understand than Christ being the head and all of us together as believers being his body. That's even more difficult. That's even more profound to think about. But again, though, God wants us to ponder these realities and to know that they really are true. Finally, at the end here, it seems like maybe he lets us off the hook then. He says, "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." Is he saying, forget about all that stuff I said about submitting and loving. Just do this. Husbands, just love your wives. Wives, just respect your husbands. Is he canceling out anything earlier? By no means. But he's putting it in a way that's a little bit easier for us to understand. So for a husband to love his wife, he has to be paying attention to her. He has to see what she needs, and he has to take action, even sacrificial action, in order to supply her with what she needs. Now, what about the wife? The wife is to respect her husband, so when he has certain ideas, she shouldn't say, "Well, I know better," as if she was wearing the pants, but she should be respecting him, though. And of course, it's best when the ideas of the husband agree with the word of God. That's always a wonderful thing, too. But God is the one, again, who established marriage. God wants marriage to reflect the relationship between Christ and the church. So may God grant his blessing not only upon every one flesh marriage, but may he especially bless the relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. Let us know that through him we are forgiven, through him we are in one body together, and through him we are saved. Let us pray. Dear Holy Spirit, we pray that you would so work in us and work through the Bible that you would bless every marriage, even every relationship, especially our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Questions? Needs? Contact us through our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. This is our regular schedule: Sundays, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45, Mondays, service at 7 p.m. Now, may the Lord of peace continually grant you peace in every circumstance. The Lord be with you all.